This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. From time to time, West Virginia Public Broadcasting has the chance to interview our U.S. senators about the issues facing Congress and the nation. Usually, our reporters come up with the questions, but this time we asked you, our audience, to come up with questions to ask Senator Shelley Moore Capito. Here's part of that interview. You'll hear our CEO, Scott Finn, asking questions. But first, Capito answers one of your questions. What more should Congress do to help West Virginians fight the opioid epidemic?
What I hear more than anything predominantly is we need money. We need the federal dollars to help us here in the state meet the challenge. So one of the problems that I've had with the way the money's rolling out is our state has the highest mortality per 100,000 on overdoses. But the money is just flat formula as a population. We're more highly affected than a lot of other people's. New Hampshire, same thing. And so I'm working with the New Hampshire senators to try to focus the dollars in so that if you have the deeper problem, you get the deeper pockets because we have to have more of a solution. We're making some headway there, so that's good. We went out and saw a medication-assisted treatment program. Some of those are controversial, but I think it has to be everything in the spectrum of solutions. And the last thing I would say is prevention. We went out to John Adams Middle School with the high-intensity drug task force folks and watched them give their presentation to really educate that age group on the dangers and the pitfalls of what happens if you become addicted. Personally, I think we should be doing that in the elementary schools. So I think where we've fallen short at the federal level is we were slow to pick it up, and also we need to target it to the areas most affected. We need to make sure that we're working with the programs that are working and then put more money into it.
We went to social media to ask our audience what are the questions we should ask you.
Sure.
One of our audience members, Cassie Lee, asked this question, and I think it's a question you get a lot. Do you support adult use cannabis legislation, and if so, under what conditions? And there are some people who think that use of cannabis could help with the opioid epidemic. So what do you say to that?
You know, I've looked at this question on the medical marijuana issue. I have fewer issues with medical marijuana, although I don't think we've researched that enough to really know exactly what kind of benefits, but also what kind of impacts. But most states have moved in that direction, as West Virginia has on medical marijuana. And so I would accept that and be a supporter of that. On recreational use, I can't do it. I am opposed to it. Cassie is not going to be probably very happy with me, but I just feel like it's a gateway drug. I feel like folks in the addiction community, if you talk to them and say and ask their opinions, they, for the most part, are opposed to it. It's just a step too far for me, and I'm not going there.
And do you think that it should be a federal issue? This is recreational marijuana, or a state issue?
I think it's probably going to – it should stay the state issue that it is. I think that you're seeing that obviously in Colorado and other states that have legalized recreational. And so I think the state ought to be the one that makes that decision. And, you know, we'll just see where it goes.
All right, Cassidy, hope we answered your question. Another West Virginia Public Broadcasting Facebook friend, Dean Kern Shelley, asked this about the school employee pay in West Virginia. He says, I teach in Virginia, and my wife is in the arduous process of becoming an administrator in West Virginia. Why do I make $25,000 more than her? How can we retain our talent? I'd love to know what Senator Capito thinks about the teacher strike and if she supported that action.
I'm supportive of appreciating our teachers, paying our teachers, retaining our teachers as best we can. So I think what I saw unfolding was sort of a political exercise that was very successful. It was very well organized. I congratulate the teachers and their leadership on showing the passion behind something that, you know, it's easy to say, oh, I want to support the teachers, and yes, they need to make more money, but for really putting the pedal to the metal and making sure the legislature and the governor actually came through with this. You know, as a mother, I mean, my kids aren't in school anymore. Being out of school for a long period of time like that, I disagreed a little bit with the tactics of being out as long. But I think part of that, without throwing anybody under the bus, was what went forward was the only way to get the commensurate attention that the teachers needed. And so, I don't think it's going to be a yearly event. So I think they did a good job of getting their point across and getting what they wanted and needed and should have.
A related question is, where were you during the 1990 strike?
I was here in Kanawha County, and our kids were in school. And I remember, I remember it was some of the same issues that are very difficult. But, you know, I mean, in my own family, I can tell you I have a family member who lives near Virginia and teaches in Virginia and makes probably $20,000 more. And that is an irritant, I think, to the local school systems. And are we losing some of our best teachers? I think that's a good question as well.
I think after the strike, you served in the West
right.
Virginia legislature.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that always the West Virginia legislature's issue, that we don't have as many resources as other states, and yet we still have to compete? We have to compete on low taxes. We have to compete on good salaries for our educators and our state employees. These are conflicting imperatives for a low-income state.
Right. And one of the issues always around the teachers is locality pay. And I think basically if things haven't changed, the teachers unions reject the concept of locality pay. But particularly if you're going into the Eastern Panhandle, where a lot of this is occurring and the difference in salaries is so high, quite frankly, I think locality pay should be something the local school systems should be able to engage in to try to retain their talent.
That was Senator Shelley Moore Capito answering questions submitted to us on Facebook and Twitter. You can hear the entire interview at wvpublic.org. Well, the recent teacher strike made headlines across the country, prompting some people to wonder why a state that voted so heavily for Donald Trump organized a widespread labor strike, a practice normally associated with Democrats. Politics here are anything but red versus blue. In fact, there may be more purple in the Mountain State than anything else. To find out more about where the teachers stand on politics, West Virginia Public Broadcasting surveyed more than 900 teachers and school employees. Roxy Todd has this story about what the teacher strike may reveal about West Virginia's political landscape.
Among the teachers and school personnel who crowded the state capitol and picketed throughout the state, there wasn't a singular unified political position. That's because the strike wasn't organized by Democrats or Republicans or even union bosses. But some in the crowds did say the experience had changed how they plan to vote in the fall.
I just switched from independent to Democrat.
Angela Nottingham is a 7th grade social studies teacher from Cabell County. She says she made the switch after watching Republicans fight against the teacher pay increases day after day. She thinks other teachers will be changing the way they vote later this year during the midterm elections.
I know that there are a lot of teachers out there that are Republican and kind of vote with their party. I think a lot of them are going to look back on who supported them, and I really do think that they and the people around them, the people that they influence, will vote for the people that helped us out.
In 2016, President Trump received nearly 70% of votes cast in West Virginia, the highest majority in the country. We have a Republican governor, and Republicans control both houses of the state legislature. And yet, more voters are registered as Democrats. Could the party gain back some ground? It's a question being asked about many red states with midterm elections around the corner. We wanted to get a sense of where we're headed. So West Virginia Public Broadcasting polled more than 900 teachers and school personnel in an anonymous online survey. Disclaimer here, this was not a scientific poll designed by statisticians, but it did give us some interesting insights. About half of the teachers we surveyed identified as Democrats, while nearly 30% say they're Republicans. A majority said they voted for Bernie Sanders as their first choice for president in 2016. Most said they plan to vote for U.S. Senator Joe Manchin and Richard Ojeda for the 3rd congressional seat in southern West Virginia. Both candidates are Democrat. That is, West Virginia's version of a Democrat. For 80 years, Democrats in West Virginia held the majority of the state house. Most of our governors have been Democrats. But as political science professor Rob Rupp explains, the Democrats in West Virginia have traditionally been a populist party, pro-labor, and socially conservative.
You have to understand that there are really three political parties in America, I say. Republican, Democrat, and West Virginia Democrat. And by that I mean you have kind of a hybrid party, a big tent, where conservatives, moderates, and liberals all joined because that was the only option for a rising politician was to be a Democrat in West Virginia.
Rupp is a professor at Wesleyan College in Buchanan, West Virginia. He spent most of his career studying what he calls West Virginia's slow-motion realignment toward the red in the state. He says the shift toward the Republican Party has been happening for a long time, but it rose to the surface about 15 years ago. President Bill Clinton was fairly popular here, but after his administration, Democrats on the national stage failed to resonate with voters in this pro-coal state.
And now they're realizing that to many West Virginia voters, the agenda of the National Democratic Party is out of touch with the state voters.
This shift didn't happen overnight. Rupp and other political scientists say one reason for the political change is the declining power of the unions. Labor has had a strong influence on politics here since the 1930s, and labor unions have typically sided with Democrats. But here's the thing. In West Virginia, Democrats are far more conservative than the national party. By some measures, they're not even technically Democrats. They're pro-coal, and they usually side with conservatives on social issues, like gay rights, abortion, and immigration.
The old Democratic Party was this big tent in which you had very conservative businessmen aligned with very liberal unionist, and people have difficulty understanding it, but the bottom line is, one, it worked, it dominated for 80 years, and two is it kind of kept politics rather centered rather than extreme, either extreme left or right.
Rupp says that now we're seeing the breakup of that hybrid big tent Democratic Party, a change that could have national implications. West Virginia may be a bellwether for rural America.
And now with the loss of power, we're seeing a struggle between should the Democratic Party turn left or should it turn right now that it suddenly finds itself in minority.
But with the recent teacher strike, some people are wondering if labor and the Democrats could stand a chance of regaining seats in the state legislature. And what kind of Democrats could get elected? Ones that lean progressive? Or will they need to look more like the West Virginia Democrats of the past? One example of the traditional style West Virginia Democrat is State Senator Richard Ojeda. He's running for Congress in Southern West Virginia, and he says he voted for Trump, but he's been disappointed by the president's performance. He strongly supports labor and unions and was one of the loudest supporters of the teachers during the recent strike.
Our people are struggling right now. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, everybody knows that these hallways are packed, and they're packed with people that are struggling. These people don't want to not be in the classroom. You know, we need to do what's right by these people. I don't care what anyone says concerning, it's illegal, it's illegal. What's illegal is how we treat our working class. That's what's wrong with this state.
If Democrats like Ojeda want to take back power in West Virginia and across Appalachia, they'll have to figure out one big question. How to bring back jobs to coal country? Former coal miner Nick Mullins is from Southwest Virginia. He says he didn't vote in the 2016 election, and he's registered as an independent. He says over the past decade, liberals have not done enough to appeal to working class voters in Appalachia.
To be frank and honest, they need to come off of their moral high horses and come back down to the level of the working class. You know, we need help. The working class needs help. We're facing longer hours. We're facing stagnant wages. People aren't enjoying life right now because they're having to work so hard and long to just have a little bit of happiness in their lives.
That's also the message from teachers and school personnel. They're facing longer hours, low pay, and high health care costs. If Democrats can convince them that they are working to improve their economic situation, as well as bringing other jobs to Appalachia, they may be able to win back some of the votes they lost in the past 15 years. But Rob Rupp says, don't hold your breath.
Old forms aren't working anymore, and no one has thought of new forms and new ideas. That will be coming, but I don't see them right now.
Time will soon tell whether voters in the Mountain State will side with the left or the right when they go to the polls for the midterm elections this November. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Roxy Todd in Charleston, West Virginia.
This story is part of this weekend's episode of Inside Appalachia titled, Could the West Virginia Teacher Strike Spark a Labor Movement? You can hear Inside Appalachia every Sunday morning at 7 and Sunday evenings at 6 here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Chuck Anzalevich.